Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Thank you and praise you, Father, for the opportunity, Father, to experience you, your presence, and in your presence, the things that you bestow, Father Yahweh. You bestow deliverance, healing, comfort, shalom, love. So right now, Father, we thank you for providing with us all those things. Right now, we come to the point in our services, Father, where we hear what thus saith you. So we just ask that you anoint the vessel, no matter how worthy or unworthy he may be, but that your word may be delivered with all the power and might that you have designed. And for this, we give you all the honor and all the glory and praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, thank you for being here today. We do serve a great God, and he is worthy of so much. And it's a blessing to be able to come to you and share what Yahweh has been really kind of dealing with in my heart. Well, I was telling you about the subject that we're on, and it really wasn't meant to be a subject. We were just talking about knowing, and the Bible says that his people, his children, are destroyed by the lack of knowledge. And we found out that not only are people destroyed because they don't have the knowledge, but they're also destroyed because they're not applying the knowledge that they do get to their lives. And they end up having knowledge and not applying it is the same as not having it at all. It has a detrimental effect on the believer. And I believe we're all here because we want to know. Do we want to know? Are you guys here because you want to know? And so he's really allowing some things to be brought out in this series that I always say this, bringing the old with the new. The Old Testament with the New Testament, understanding what the meaning was behind a lot of the things that went on in the Old Testament. And what I was telling you guys before, the Old Testaments are the roots. New Testament is the shoots. So you have to understand what is going on in that foundation to apply it to your life today. Amen? And so what we're doing in this series of knowing, we've been looking at quite a few things. And so what I want to do is I want to take you to, it has to be blue. Sometimes these devices are not as convenient as they're supposed to be. See, got phones going on. I guess with the Bible, you don't have to plug it up and recharge it. Can I get an amen? You know, it's a regular Bible is always ready. You just turn to it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's always ready to go. But what we were looking at, here we go. Let's do it like this. We just close that down and we just go reopen it. How about that? We were speaking last week about the fact that on the 16th of August, we actually moved into a new Hebrew month. The Hebrew month is called Elul. and not knowing thoroughly, but following the Holy Spirit, he's really been, in the sessions that we've been under, expressing the importance of us being able to draw closer to him, right? And this month of Elul is the time that he is calling his church for a closer relationship. Amen? Who wants a closer relationship? And so many times people in the church have said, y'all pray for my closer walk with the Lord. Right? It was almost like the quintessential staple testimony that you would get up and say, first I give an honor to God and the pastor and the first lady. Then you all pray my strength in the Lord and pray for my closer walk. And they sit down. Well, you can pray for a closer walk all you want to, and you can ask somebody to pray for you, but guess what? It's your walk. Let me say it again. Tell your neighbor, it's your walk. I can pray for you, but I'm trying to walk my walk. Because I got to walk. Pastor Tom, you got to. Yes. Every day, I'm processing my walk. So I can't be worried about your walk. He's given you the power to be able to be victorious in your walk. And if we both got the same power, then we should be walking. And we should be victorious. And we should be doing this thing. But you ain't going to get a closer walk if you think that you're going to walk and you're not in the Word. Walking is directly attached to wording. That's my new word, wording. What is wording, Pastor Tom? You're just making up stuff. Yes. But the concept is true. You have to have a desire for the Word. You got to position yourself for the Word. Everybody that is sitting here today, you have positioned yourself for the Word. So first of all, I want to thank Yahweh. He's given you the victory to come up in here and at least be up under the Word that's going forth. Amen. So getting here sometimes is half the battle. It's a challenge sometimes getting here. Who didn't feel like waking up? It's okay. I didn't feel like getting up. Pastor Tom, you didn't feel like getting up? No. Because Pastor Tom is wrapped up in this flesh. But after I woke up and let the spirit man kick in, guess what? You gotta let the what? Spirit man kick in. Because I said it before and I'm gonna say it again. Y'all don't just wake up praising. If you say you do, you lying. You get up and it's like, and then you realize, hey, he actually woke me up this morning. And then the praise kicks in. And then we can go for it. So when we're talking about this knowing, there's some things that he has been bringing out. So I need you to turn to Johann and John. And we love to acknowledge the Hebrew words, names, so important. And so were we looking at John, the 14th chapter, or Yohanan, the 14th chapter? Simply put, if you got to say, I got it. So John 14, 15th chapter says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants you to prove it. He wants you to be present. He's saying, if you love me, an indication of that you love me is that you're keeping my commandments. If you're not keeping his commandments, evidently, you don't love him. Or love him like he wants to be loved. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so it goes further to say, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not and neither knoweth him. The world does not have a concept of Yahweh, right? And they can't because they can't see him. They don't have the spiritual eyes to see. They don't have the spiritual capacity to know. But guess what? You do. He's given you his precious Holy Spirit and you have the capacity to see him. How many of you see when Yahweh's working? You see when he's doing something. You prayed and the situation was looking crazy, but all of a sudden things started to change and materialize right before your eyes. And then when you realized that, he said, hey, praise Yahweh. He's working in my what? Favor. And that's where scripture says, but you know him. I say you know him because you've seen him in operation. You know him because he's revealed himself to you. And so he says, he dwells in you and he shall be in you. And the 18th verse says what? I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me because I live and you live also. And at that day you shall know I am in my Father and ye in me and I in you. And he says, he that hath my commandments and keep them. So what I was saying before is that you can have his commandments, meaning that you know, and you got them, and you, who got a Bible this morning? Okay, somebody even maybe passed you a Bible, right? So say I've got the word, right? So it says, hey, but you mean you have the commandments, but you can have the word, say I can have the word, but not keep them. And so the importance is that you got to have the word and keep it. You got to do both. You got to have it and you got to keep it. And he that loveth me and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And this is the kicker for me. And will manifest myself to him. So not only is he going to love you, but he's going to manifest himself. And we looked at the word manifest and it's what? Say it. You know it. Emphanizo. And what does that mean? He says, I'm going to love you and I'm going to appear plainly to you. Not only that, I'm going to love you and I'm going to exhibit my ability to you. I'm going to love you and I am going to declare something on your behalf. I'm going to love you and I'm going to move for you. I'm going to love you, and I love this. I'm going to show you something. Manifest is a verb. Say manifest is a verb. Does anybody remember, what do you call it? Schoolhouse Rock. Who remembers Schoolhouse Rock? Remember all they had one for the noun? But I love, my favorite one was verb. Because it said, verb, that's what's happening. He says, I can take a noun and bend it. Remember that? Remember that? Okay. And so remember that the little boy, he was like, verb, right? And he was playing, pitcher was throwing the ball, right? And then the batter, he said, what? He hit the ball. And everybody's, it's going, it's going, it's gone. That was the pitcher. The ball got hit, and what was happening? Y'all trying to act like you ain't old. You old, just like me. But what the thing was, verb. That's what's happening. It means there's something going on. There's something happening. There's something moving. There's action. And verb is what? Tell your neighbor, verb is action. Verb is action. Manifest is action. That means I actually see something going on. Something starts to materialize in the what? In your situation. And so when we look at this, let's go. He says, I'm going to manifest myself to you. So how do we tie these things together? How do we really position ourselves to see what Yahweh is doing? Go to Numbers. Numbers. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, you're going to call it what? Barmit. What? Bar Midbar, and we're going to go to the 15th chapter. And I love when I see the word come alive. Did you guys know that the word comes alive? It actually leaps off the pages. How does it do that? We're about to find out. So it says, Bar Midbar, Numbers, the 15th chapter. Go to the 37th verse. Okay? If you got it, say I got it. And it says, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments, throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you might look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh. And so what I'm doing is I want to show you some stuff that's in the Word. Now, we're going to the Old Testament to bring out the meaning. So I'm not telling you to go out and buy these things. But what I'm saying is understand. Somebody say understand. Understand the significance. What was Yahweh trying to say in the scripture? And it's plainly here. He says, 39, and it shall be you unto you a four fringe, that you what might but look upon it. And if I look upon it, I'm going to what? Remember something. Who needs help remembering? I don't know about you, but I need help remembering. So a lot of times I'll have my telephone beep, and I'll tell Siri, hey Siri, will you please remind me at, oh, you guys, who's Apple up in here? Okay, we got Siri. I don't know what the rest of y'all got. Okay. But when I speak to my phone, it makes things happen. But there's a verb going on. You know, that's what's happening. So when I position myself to remember things, it brings things to my remembrance. And so I got to try to remember stuff. The older I get, sometimes I need a little bit more assistance to remember. And it's okay. But these were old folks and new folks. So why did he feel the need to find a way for them to have to remember? Because sometimes y'all forget where you from. You forget that you, sometimes we forget we believers. Yeah. Because that's why he did it. He was like, I got to keep reminding you who you belong to. And so he says, put these on a fringe. And it says, and you remember to remember all the commandments of Yahweh, and you're going to do them. And you're not going to seek after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you do go a-whoring. Well, that's a strong statement. We found that out last week. Because whoring is when you trade something to get something. And anytime you fall into sin, you what? You're trading. I meant trading, but somebody said, you're whoring. Yes, I guess that's what you're doing. Yes, that's what the Word says. And the fourth verse, 40th verse says, that you remember and do what? All my commandments, and be holy unto your God. Why? Because I am Yahweh your Elohim, the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. And I am Yahweh thy what? Elohim. And so he's saying, listen, I'm the one that brought you out. See, all y'all have had an Egypt. He's had to bring you out of something. And if he brought you out of something, you need to say hallelujah, because he brought me out of something. You guys were in some stuff, and he brought you out of it, right? And so when I was saying, they would look at the five books of the Torah. They called it the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, what? Deuteronomy, Devarim. And so we looked at those books, and they will remember what? Those books. And they called them the law. But when you love somebody, you're concerned about them. So I challenge the church that don't look at it as law. That's the English word that they used. When they translated it law. You got to keep it. But this came from a loving God. So they're instructions. Somebody say instructions. So he's given us what? Instructions. Your God loves you so much that he's given you what? Instructions. He's giving you the Torah, right? And so I want to show you, this is what he's talking about. This was the prayer cloth. This was the talit. Say talit. And in the talit, beautiful garment. And in the talit, it had these fringes. And you see these fringes right here? They had knots, five knots. Each knot represented the books of the Torah. And he said, if you saw these on the talit, and they wore this. Now, this is a slightly modified talit. Now, the talit that they wore that was more traditional was a full roll. You have the four corners, right? And so, but this is similar to that. And so in the tallit, you had the fringes. Guess what the fringes are called? Say T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T. It's not T-Z-Z-I-T. It's say Z-Z-I-T. Z-Z-I-T. The tassels were called what? Z-Z-I-T, right? And so if you looked at the tassels, you'd be able to see, hey, this is the word. And so when you will walk around with the tallit on, every time you see the tassels, you remember, hey, the word. And the beautiful thing about the tallit, and that's what this was, when you would go around, you would see the tallit, and you would see the fringes, or the, say, what's the fringes? And every time you saw that, can you see that? You see that? And every time you see that, it would what? Remind you about the word and about the keeping the, say, somebody say instructions. And so he said, I want you to put that and the border of it, say border. The border was called the kanaf. Say kanaf. Now the border is a beautiful piece. And every time that you would see the border, it would also, say when you see the border, it was also known as wings. So you see the kanaf, say kanaf. Kanaf. And attached to the kanaf was the tzitzit, right? And the kanaf was called a couple of things. One thing the kanaf was called, it was translated him, say him. Yes. Also, it was called wings, say wings. And so when you would see that, and let's go and find out what he's saying about this garment. Now, tallit means little tent. Say little tent. And so when they would go and pray, they had thousands, if not millions, of people that wanted to worship in the temple. Do you think they all could get up in there? So what you had to do was you had to carry your tallit or your little tent with you. And when you had your little tent, you wherever you go, all you'd have to do was raise your hands and you were completely in your own tent. You are in your own tabernacle. It was just you and Yahweh. And right there, right in front of you, as you pray, you would see the tzitzit. And as you were praying, you were still reminded of the word. And you would translate it, they would also call it your prayer tent or your prayer closet. And you would go into, and this signified the separation between the world and you and Yahweh. So I don't care what was going on around you, you would put on your tallit, and it was just you and Yahweh. Does anybody need a tallit moment? Yeah. You and him, and you go into your little tent, and no matter where you were, half tent would travel. And you'll be able to go in prayer. And so in with this tallit, let's go here to Psalms 61, 4. Hallelujah. And so when we would wear this, you can take that. You got to say, I got it. And so it says, I will what? Abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covered or the covering of what? And so these signified the wings, and the wings were the kanaf. And so anytime that you were in here, you were covered by Yahweh, right? And so let's go to Matthew 6:6. Oh, I love it. Somebody say tzitzit. Yes, tzitzit. Yes. These were the borders. Say borders.
Borders.
Say wings.
Wings.
Say him. And so the Matthew 6:6 say, but without, when thou prayest, enter in to thy closet. And what? And when thou hast shut thy door. And that's what this was. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward you what? This was about relationship. Say relationship. And so what he was trying to tell them, he was like, I'm with you always. I am here, but I need you to remember that you are mine and I am yours. And I need you to understand that wherever you are, I'm right here, and you can enter in to pray to me anytime, whatever your request is. There is a separation between you and the world. I'm covering you in my wings. I've got you. It's about relationship. It's about drawing closer. And so when you had this, you would remember that. And so let's go to Malachi, the fourth chapter. Yahweh's wings were a place of shelter. Say shelter. They were a place of comfort. Say comfort. They were a place of protection. Say protection. And there were a place of healing. Say healing.
Healing.
Right? This is in his wings. And so Malachi 4, 1 through 2. You got it? So Malachi 4 says what? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be what? Stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither what? Looks like something's coming. There's some destruction coming. There's some peril coming. And he was like, all these things are going to take, and it's not going to leave them what? Neither root nor branch. And the second verse says, but unto you that fear or reverence my name, shall the sun, now hold up. This is the Old Testament, y'all. This is Malachi. Guess what? Yeshua had not come yet. But through this prophecy, he was saying that there's something that's going to happen. But guess what? I'm going to send someone. Say, this was prophecy. And so it says, but unto you that fear my name, the sun of righteousness arises. With what? Healing in his wings. So how is that possible? Let's go to Luke, the 8th chapter. So for those people that were at that time, many, 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 many years before Yeshua came on the scene, there was a foretelling. There was a prophecy that the Son of Righteousness was coming. And for those of you who revered his what? It didn't say revered him, his name. So there was some significance in what? The name. And so when we go to Luke, the 8th chapter, can you believe it was foretold in Malachi that he would have healing in his Tanakh? He would have healing in his tzitzit, in his wings, in his borders. So, 43rd verse of Luke 8 says, and a woman having an issue of blood. Somebody say, many years after Malachi. Say, many years after Malachi. So evidently, this woman had heard something in the teaching. And it says, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living on physicians. She said, spent her money on all kinds of healings of physicians and stuff. But she still could not be healed of any. And the 44th verse says, she came behind him. Behind who? Well, Yeshua was peering. He was speaking in the place where she was. And so she came out of her hiding. And it says she immediately came behind him and touched the border. Somebody say she touched the Tanakh. Somebody say she touched the tzitzit. Why did she touch the Tanakh? Why did she touch the wings? Because she heard that the Son of Righteousness was coming and he would have healing in his Tanakh. Yeah. He would have healing in his wings. And so what did she do? She made sure that she touched the boy. If she could just touch the border of his tallit, his little tent, his tanakh, then something would happen for her. Well, she was looking for healing. So she said, if I could just touch the tanakh, I'm healed. So Yeshua, as any good rabbi was doing, he was wearing his tallit. But come up on the side of me, bro. I'm here like, and there she go. Touch it. And it said, sat down. Immediately. Somebody say immediately.
Immediately.
It says her issue of blood stopped. Somebody say she was healed. She was healed. And so it said, 45th. Yeshua said, who touched me? Because I have to show y'all this. Now listen, there's throngs of people that was in the press. And so he said, somebody touched me. And then went on, guess what? They was like, come on. Peter says, seriously? Master, there's a multitude. There's a throng. There's a press. There's a bunch of people here. And you gonna say, who touched me? What does the 46th verse say? And Yeshua said, somebody has touched me. For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Just because of the faith that she had, that if she would just touch, if he got healing in his wing, I won't heal it. So if he got healing in his wings, all I gotta do is touch his wings. And if I touch the wings, I'm gonna be healed. But Yeshua said, wait. I perceive there's people touching me. But somebody touched me and something went out of me. And so I told you guys this before, but we got to see it. Virtue usually means arete. Give me the definition for arete. It's on the, arete means just an excellent or good work. So the translators took that word and they said, well, we're going to put that a good work went out of Yeshua. But when you go to the original text, doesn't say virtue. It's not a reet. When you look up, and this is the only place where it is at in the word, it is a word called dynamis. And let's see. Who's heard of dunamis? Dunamis is that power, that wonder working power, right? But dynamis is when that dunamis goes out. Dynamis is the force that comes out to manifest something. Dynamis is that force, that miraculous power. Somebody say in operation. So he's saying, hold up, somebody touched me and the dynamis went out of me. Somebody drew off my power. Somebody, I have dunamis in me, and somebody touched me, and from my dunamis, dynamis flowed out of me and made something happen. And Yeshua was not actively trying to lay hands on her. He was not actively knowing that he was going to do something for her, but her faith in what the word said drew the power out of him, and he didn't even know it. If we could just believe Yahweh and tap into that dynamis power, do you know what could happen? You got a situation where you need some dynamis to go out. You need some miraculous, wonder-working power. See, dunamis is just potential energy. Say dunamis. But when dynamis goes out, that means it's inaction. It's like, okay, you believe enough that this dunamis is going to turn into dynamis, and it's going to make something happen for you. I don't know about you, but I need some stuff to happen. I need some wonder-working power. So you got to allow the, you got to, who believes the word in here? Do you know this woman believed the word so much that she got her healing? Whatever it is that you need from Yahweh, you got to believe it. It's according to what? Tell your neighbor, it's according to your faith. Say, what you going to do? Do you want dynamis power working in your behalf? Who wants dynamis? Come on. Come on now. Can you imagine if we were all trying out that? We get that power. And so when we look at this, come on now. See, y'all don't want no power. You don't want nothing to happen. You don't need some verbs. That's what's happening. And so when we go here, it says, when we're talking about Yohanan, and it says, let's go to Yohanan 8th chapter. It's the ability, the supernatural ability. And Yohanan, the 8th chapter, in the 31st verse says, but sometimes y'all got to be reminded. I'm not telling you guys to carry around a tallit. But guess what? What's going to help you remember? Maybe you need something that's going to keep Yahweh in the forefront of your mind. Maybe you need to put a Bible on your phone. Or maybe you just need to, whatever you do, tell your neighbor, whatever you do to remember. You got to remember where this power is coming from. So Yohanan, the 8th chapter, and I need to wrap this up. For today, y'all didn't give me no time. Yohanan 8, verse 31, 8th chapter, 31st verse. So Yeshua says what? Then said Yeshua to those Jews. Who's believing on Yahweh? Who's believing? Do you believe in what Yeshua is saying? Do you believe in what Yeshua is doing? Do you believe that faith that woman had drew out the power, whether he was conscious of it or not? But her faith, her faith allowed something to happen. Her faith allowed a force to work on her behalf. Her faith allowed something to manifest in the atmosphere, and it did something for her. You got to believe that Yahweh is going to manifest something. And so it says, for you who believe on me, if you do something, the problem is that we don't continue. We get a little something, we get in the jam. And after we get stuck in the jam, and we come crying on the altar and getting intercessors and stuff, believe, and he comes through for us, and we say, oh, thanks, praise Yahweh. And then we drift on off and go back to our own little mess. Then when the next thing happens, oh, I got to come on back. Yeah, I need y'all to pray for me. I need something from God. And then he comes through for you. And you here for a good 2 to 3 weeks. And then we don't see you no more for another 3 or 4 months. Oh, but then you went to the doctor and the doctor gave you a report. Oh, you come back to the church. You get healed. You go out. And you come in and you are here faithfully for 4 months. Then you start creeping out. Then you lose your job. Oh, can you pray? You guys are laughing, but that's what we do. And he says, listen, I
got some stuff for you. I got some blessings for you. Not only do I got blessings for you, I got some overflow for you. Not only do I have an overflow, but you got constant dynamis drawing from my dunamis. But I need you to do something. I need you to continue. Tell your neighbor, we got to continue. We got to keep remember. There's power in the word every day. I don't know about you, but I need a constant source of power every day, every week, every hour. I ain't got no choice but to continue. But when I continue, he says, then you are something. You are my disciples. Indeed. And the 32nd verse says what? You're going to know the truth. And the truth will what? Make you free. He's calling for some saints that are willing to continue in his word. Because his word is powerful. Everything that we need is found in his word. That's why he is called El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Everything that we need, we find in him. And he's upset with us when we go outside looking for something somewhere else. And the world cannot offer us what Yahweh is offering us. The world cannot compare to what Yahweh has for us. But he says, stop going back and forth. Stop stepping in and stepping out. Stop playing hopscotch with your salvation. He said, get in and stay in. Tell your neighbor, we got to get in and we got to stay in. Is there anybody willing to stay in with me? Stay in. I got to say this, and I'm gone. I was here for, I was out of town a couple of weeks ago. And I was excited that the word was still going to be continuing, but nobody knew I wasn't going to be here. And the minister got up and he did the lesson. Amen. But there was only like a handful of people here. There's a room full of people now. But for the word to go forth, in prayer there's a handful of people. He's saying, I want to do some stuff for you. He says, I'm calling you, but I need all of you. That's not me talking. That's what his word says. He needs some folks that are going to position themselves for the word. See, who wants power on their behalf? You want power? Yeah. But get with me for a second. If you want power, always, let me put it this way. What if you had water? And sometimes you would have water service, and sometimes you didn't. You paying the bill, but sometimes the water come out, and sometimes it don't. Sometimes when you need to take that shower, it's not there. You need a constant source of power in your life. You don't need a well that's going to sometimes give you water, sometimes not. The water that Yahweh is providing you, the word that Yahweh is providing you, it's a never-ending source. It's a never-ending source of power. Whenever you need it, it's right there on tap. Whenever you call, he's right there. And he's saying, I need you to be consistent like me. He says, I am a consistent God. I am always there. And I need some saints that are going to be consistent with me. And when my word is going forth, they're going to be right there to receive it. Because I got some stuff in that word that you're going to be able to use. You're going to have to be able to draw from my word. You're going to come up against a situation. And you don't even know it yet. But there's a situation coming. And if you position yourself for my power and for my word, I will be right there to supply whatever it is for you. But I need you to be consistent. Who's going to show up for Yahweh? This is not Pastor Tom talking. He said, you're my disciples indeed if you continue in my word. We need to rededicate ourselves. We need to recommit ourselves. We're lacking. When we don't feel like coming to prayer, we don't come. When we don't feel like coming to Bible study, we don't come. Yet, we still in the prayer line. Ooh, but I got a prayer request. Well, why weren't you here? He's making a call. I'm not even going to do an altar call. I'm going to do a rededication. And you don't have to come up here. What you need to do is you need to stand up in his presence. And you need to say, listen, maybe I have been lacking. But I hear what you're saying today. And I'm going to take the time. Yes, 119. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I need my people to commit something to me. I need some folks that's going to continue. Amen. And you can make that stand. And let's stop being ashamed. If you need to make a stand, get up and make that declaration to him and say, you know what? I have been lacking. I have not been making the mark. I have been operating in my feelings. But you are a God that deserves my attention. You deserve my attention. I would cry to you or come to you when something wasn't going right, instead of just coming to you, no matter what the situation was, and just thanking you for life, thanking you for providing. So I stand right here in your presence. I'm going to change, Abba. I'm going to be consistent for you because you are consistent with me. You said in your word, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I thank you that you've never done that. You've never done it. But rather, you've always been here for me. So I dedicate myself to you. Talk to him right now. You tell him. You tell him. I can't tell him for you. You talk to him right here. You take this operation, this opportunity in his sanctuary. You go into your talit right here and right now. Don't worry about anybody else. You talk to him. You talk to him. You pour out. Hey, the spirit of Yahweh is moving in this building right now, calling for a relationship, calling for closer continuance in him. Oh, yes. And no matter how long it takes, you pour that out. Talk to him. Release to him. Commit to him. Oh, the mercy and the grace of Yahweh is flowing through this place right now. The love of Yahweh is flowing through this place right now. Hey,
Now come on and praise him for his love. Come on and praise him for his mercy. Come on and praise him for his grace. Hey! Come on and praise him for a brand new start. Hey! Thank you! Hey! Father, right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, we're giving ourselves to you. We're surrendering ourselves to you right now. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Father, if we have not been walking as we should in all the power and might that you have designed us to walk in, forgive us right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Have mercy on us right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Our desire, Father Yahba, is to grow closer and closer to you, closer in your word, closer in the things that you have called us to. Positioning ourselves, Father Yahba, that when your word goes forth, we're there. When your prayers go forth, we're here. Showing you that we are your disciples. We are continuing in you. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we're walking with you. We're walking with you upright. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your dunamis power that is operating in our behalf. And right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, we're going to walk this walk. We're going to keep the faith. We're going to fight the good fight right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. We thank you for your strength and your power and all the things that you bestow that allow us to walk this walk. We're going to walk it. And not only are we going to walk it, we're going to walk it victoriously in all the power and authority that you have given us to walk in. So we give you the honor and the glory, and we thank you right now, Yahweh. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey. Hallelujah. It's a brand new walk. Tell yourself it's a brand new walk. Say, I've got the victory. In the mighty name of Yeshua. And give him one more shout of victory for that.